It's the first Monday in October, and today the justices of the United States Supreme Court were back on the bench after their official summer break. Last year's court session dealt with far fewer cases than usual, but this year promises to be busier. With us to talk about the upcoming term is NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Nina, what is that observation of de Tocqueville's that you like to quote?
That eventually almost every major public controversy in America makes it to the Supreme Court, and this year proves how accurate that observation is. The court's scheduled to hear cases on questions ranging from doctor-assisted suicide to presidential immunity.
That would be the Paula Jones case.
Paula Jones' case against President Clinton, for the first time, tests whether a president is entitled to temporary immunity from civil lawsuits altogether. 14 years ago, Linda, the High Court ruled on a case involving a fired Defense Department worker that presidents are completely immune from civil lawsuits for their official acts. The Paula Jones case involves alleged acts, namely sexual harassment, by then-Governor Clinton in Arkansas. So the alleged acts were neither official nor done when he was president. Ms. Jones claims that no person is above the law, that a president must face the music in court like everyone else. But Mr. Clinton asserts that a president is different, that given our litigious society, civil lawsuits could only serve to detract a president from his official duties, and that all of these lawsuits should be postponed until he's out of office unless there's some really compelling reason to do otherwise.
Nina, presumably the case that will attract the most attention this year is the test of doctor-assisted suicide.
It's actually a test of whether states can pass laws banning all doctor-assisted suicide for terminally ill and mentally competent patients. Most states, supported by the American Medical Association, by the way, do have laws that make it a crime for a doctor to help a patient, even one who's terminally ill, to end his or her life. But over the last year, the lower federal courts have struck down these laws in several states, and now the cases are in front of the Supreme Court. The justices have already held that patients do have the right to refuse life-prolonging treatment. Here the question is whether the state can forbid doctors to help these same kinds of patients to hasten the end of their lives with medication.
Nina, there are a lot of federalism issues before the court, as there are before the Congress, questions of federal power over the states.
Indeed there are, and the court in recent years has, for the first time in about a half century, been receptive to arguments by the states that the Congress of the United States is stepping on the states' constitutional toes. This year, the biggest case is a test of the Brady gun control law.
Now, that is the law that requires a 5-day waiting period for the purchase of a gun?
That's right. And the time is to be used by local law enforcement authorities to check on the criminal record, the drug record, the mental health record of the putative gun owner. The challenge in the Supreme Court's been brought by sheriffs in Arizona and Montana who claim it violates the Constitution for Congress to impose such a burden on them.
Nina, I know there are a large number of other important cases on everything from English-only laws to sexual predators, protests at abortion clinics, but this is not just the first Monday in October. This is also an election year. Is that going to affect the court?
Well, we never know for sure, but certainly there's been a lot of speculation that Chief Justice Rehnquist might retire sometime after the election, or Justice Stevens. They're both in their 70s. And I think there's little doubt that if President Dole replaces these men, the court would in all likelihood be dramatically more conservative because Stevens, a moderate liberal, would be replaced by a conservative. And then you'd likely see, for example, Roe versus Wade again as a constitutional issue. If President Clinton is reelected, I suspect the court won't change quite as much. But if he replaces Chief Justice Rehnquist, the balance on affirmative action questions might change. The votes have been 5-4, and a switch of just one could change the outcome in those cases.
Nina, I understand the press was not exactly focused on cases coming before the court this morning.
No, for us, the big question was whether Justice Scalia would be wearing the beard he grew this summer, or whether he'd shave it off for the opening of court and his daughter's upcoming wedding. There hasn't been a beard on the court, Linda, since Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes sported a dandy one in the years 1930-41.
So the answer is?
Scalia kept the beard, a big, bushy, black-and-white speckled number reminiscent of Paul Bunyan.
Thanks very much. NPR's Nina Totenberg.